Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryan Karavavahai Tejasvinavadhitamastamavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, so page 56. Sukracharya continued, "You will certainly be unable to fulfill your promise, and I think that because of this ability, your eternal residence will be in hell. Learned scholars do not praise that charity which endangers one's own livelihood. Charity, sacrifice, austerity, and fruit of activities are possible for one who is competent to earn his livelihood properly. They are not possible for one who cannot maintain himself. Therefore, one who is in full knowledge should divide his accumulated wealth in five parts: for religion, for reputation, for opulence, for sense gratification, and for maintenance of his family members. Such a person is happy in this world and in the next." So, being karmakandis, then naturally then they have to be able to maintain themselves and deal in a proper way. So Sukracharya is pointing out that if Vamanadeva takes everything away from you, you won't be able to do this. So he won't be able to carry on following this path of karma. That's the whole point. And since he's his guru in karma, therefore then he is speaking, you know, according to his best interests. But we understand from this, we'll find that this path of karma, that there's higher. And the benefits are greater. Right? So now, because previously what were we doing? We were taking the path of karma, connecting to Krishna, karma, yoga, everything works very nicely. But now we're coming to the point where it's about surrender to Krishna that's more important. Right? Does that make sense? So, in other words, following the path of karma yoga until the point where you can just fully surrender. So there is a difference. It has to be. So Sukracharya, because he's only an acharya within karma, then he won't actually understand this. At least not in this situation. Does that make sense? So now he's dividing, he's saying, you divide your wealth into five parts: for religion, for reputation, for opulence, for sense gratification, for maintenance of his family members. So all those different things must be taken care of. Right? So then you have to see what is your standard stock. Then what's left over, then you can have something for yourself. But otherwise, all these things must be taken care of. So religion, you must do those religious things. For reputation means by giving in charity and stuff like that, that will be there. Then for opulence, how you'll take it and increase your money. Yes?
Is he not understanding this, or is he not appreciating it, or is he actually against it because he sees it's threatening his livelihood? What's the actual element? Because in the Gita, Krishna says, he's representing me, so he's a very educated person, so
yes.
It's not to understand for him because he sees.
Means of Brahmins, of these kind, he's the best. Because he knows Vishnu, he knows all these things. So in that way, then, he's the best of the Brahmins. But as far as understanding the transcendental position, that, at least here at this point in the pastime, he doesn't know. He doesn't appreciate. So he's simply pointing out that for the best position within the material world, you have to follow it like this. And so you're going beyond that. But this beyond is actually to the point of surrender to the Lord. So he's going to the transcendental position. So Sukracharya, that's not his position. Because Sukracharya, he's the acharya of those who follow in the seminal line. So in other words, the family tradition and everything, which is bona fide. That's what you do socially. But it's not the ultimate. So that's where his weakness is. Because he knows this is Vishnu, he knows how he's going to act, he knows his position, his powers, his authority. But the idea to surrender to that Vishnu, that's not part of the equation. So he respects him, but he's pointing out that according to the Dharma Shastra and all that, he's going beyond what he should be doing. But he doesn't understand the principle of surrendering to Krishna. That's the highest, you know, form of Dharma. That's where his weakness is.
So the element that he's lacking is appreciation.
Basically, you could say that, or devotion. See, because you can just like, you can say another example is Daksha, Prajapati Daksha. He's offering prayers to the Lord personally comes, he's interacting with the Lord, but his purpose in worshipping the Lord is for karma. So these are the cases where you see it's bhakti misra karma. Right? We're following karma misra bhakti and trying to bring it to shuddha bhakti. Right? So hears that they understand all these things, but so the knowledge can be gained, just like, let's say, when we're talking about Vedanta philosophy on the nature of the soul and relationship of the soul with family members and how temporary that is. Then the instructions of Hiranyakashipu are very good. But he's only using that so that his house will be peaceful so that he can go on enjoying life. He's not using that Vedanta philosophy so that they all move forward in their understanding of transcendence. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Such a person is happy in this world and in the next. Srila Prabhupada comments. The Shastras enjoin that if one has money, one should divide all that he has accumulated into five divisions. One part for religion, one part for reputation, one part for opulence, one part for sense gratification, and one part to maintain the members of his family. At the present, however, because people are bereft of all knowledge, they spend all their money for the satisfaction of the family. Srila Rupa Goswami taught us by his own example by using 50% of his accumulated wealth for Krishna, 25% for his own self, and 25% for the members of his family. One's main purpose should be to advance in Krishna consciousness. This will include dharma, artha, and kama. However, because one's family members expect some profit, one should also satisfy them by giving them a portion of one's accumulated wealth. This is the Shastra conjunction. So the whole idea is that taking care of the family, taking care of charity, religion, all these different things, they all must be counted as part of the plan of one's money. And if one sees it in like this, then it works very nicely. Right? So then within that, what he's giving in charity, then that means that's your religious aspects, your other aspects, different things like this, because you're giving in charity. Yes?
Just asking the question, if somebody is able to maintain himself, this is how he should divide his money. The question is, what if one is having difficulty maintaining himself, what is his duty? How should he divide whatever little comes into his hands? Sometimes we hear, at least I have heard, that a brahmana, he collects during the day and he uses what he needs to keep his body and soul together, and then he gives everything else away in charity.
Right.
So at the end of the day, he's supposed to be completely poverty stricken, and then in the next morning, he's supposed to start all over again.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. But is the person saying this to you following that?
No, of course not.
Yeah. So then you just sit. Nod, yes, good point, like that. I'll think about that, and then you walk off.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, if a person is having difficulty maintaining himself, what is his duty to give in charity? What is his duty to... Does he have any duty?
Yeah.
His only duty is to try to maintain himself.
The point is what does he mean by maintenance? Because technically speaking, you can go on unlimitedly.
Yeah, with maintenance, yes.
Yes, so the point is there has to be, you know, a standard position of maintenance. And then what's above that's what we're talking about. So now, If it drops below that, then you may consider. But the point is, as it mentions, some for himself, sense gratification, this and that. So that means if only he is paying the bills and there's no extra money, he's not buying anything for himself like this, then you may consider, okay, he's living below his means, and so therefore until he gets it together, he won't be giving anything in charity. But that means he's getting nothing out of it either. The mortgage is being paid, the water, the electricity, you know, the basic food, that's going on. So body and soul is together, but there's nothing beyond that. Because if he is buying something for himself, then he should be giving whatever he's going to buy with, half of that should be given in charity. Like that. So if he's at zero, then it's zero. But as soon as it comes to one, that's 50 cents for someone else, 50 cents for himself. Like that. So like that. So he has to see is what is his point of maintenance that includes, you know, he's getting something. Right. So it should be that when you calculate all that, that means already the charity, the family members, all that is included in taking care of everything. So that's the point, is the, all doing all this, this is just taking care. We're taking it that in one sense that charity is above. No, we're counting charity within. And so then there, but if it drops more, then that's that. Then going outside, that'll drop first.
Is there any religious benefit to giving in charity if one is poverty stricken? In other words, sometimes I've often heard it said that if you give charity to a pure devotee of the Lord, then it comes back to you millionfold.
Yeah, so then give him a dollar. That's all you got. So that's $1 million. That's not bad. You know what I'm saying? Invest $1, you get back $1 million. What businessman won't take it? So, you know, we're not talking about a lot. Point is you can't give in charity and inconvenience the family members. But that means inconveniencing means the standard stuff. Checking out. Wow. What's that?
So charity truly does begin at home first.
Yes, but at the same time, is it has to be understood that charity to others is also necessary. So you have to balance the whole thing. So it's a maturity to look at. It's not an excuse to get others to give money or an excuse not to give money, right? It has to be a proper mature contemplation. That's it. Yeah, that's it. Yes. That's out of your half. Means you save out of that half. Does that make sense? Or you can say it's emergencies, that's yours. Means what's left, you give that to the family. That's not taking care of the family, that means giving them something. That's what he says, is they expect. How? Because those family members expect some profit. They're not talking about you paid the bills and now I've taken care of the family. They're talking about bills are paid, everything's paid, and they have something in hand that they can go shopping. That's the profit. So they're getting their portion. Portion of that's being given in charity, and you're putting some money away. You know, and if now and again you need something, you buy it out of that. So in other words, if anybody gets the short end of the stick, it's you, not everybody else. So, you know what I'm saying? So when it comes down to between, you know, your wife's shoes or you getting some new little gizmo or gadget, she gets the shoes. Does that make sense? Suddenly going from smile down to...
I could never balance it out.
But that's the effort. When, you know, in other words, it's a responsible position. A lot of times it's thought you get married, I'm independent, I can do what I like. No, it means that now you get to do it with your like with all the responsibilities. In other words, before, the temple president is paying all the bills, paying everything, taking care of everything, and telling you what to do. And so then you want to not have him tell you what to do means you have to pay all the bills and take care of everything. So it's a package. Yes.
Like, what you're doing, or just not understanding the philosophy that you have, already your means are beyond what is necessary just to maintain body and soul.
The point is, yeah, but then, okay, so you understand, so now does everybody in your family understand that?
What's the question?
The question is what if you've had a certain standard of living, then you join Krishna consciousness, then after being in Krishna consciousness, then you yourself understand that that level of living is actually not necessary. Okay, does that answer your question? She said, so you're saying that it's inappropriate, your standard of living, now that you've joined, you've understand, you know, that it's not correct, so does that mean it's too low? You don't get it. So in other words, you can reduce on what you're living at an extravagant level, but unless the other family members understand that, then theirs continues as it is. Right? And so then what you give there, you reduce yours, you put that into emergency, you give that in charity, things like that. But theirs would stay. As they start to understand it, then you start to reduce, and then that goes over into what you can give in charity or other things like that. Or does that make sense? Yeah. Yes.
Now, most of the population nowadays is shudras, and given an artificial position, equal opportunities,
right,
they live in debt.
Right.
Most, like 99%.
Yes.
So, should we actually preach about charity to those kind of people? Because actually, their bank balance is minus always.
No, but because it'll be minus, but it doesn't mean that they can't put the charity on their card. So in other words, he should preach that they should be conscious that giving in charity is an important part of their own personal development. Otherwise, they have the tendency to be miserly. What was it? Miserly? And what was the other one? There was two words given.
Poor-minded.
Poor-minded means you don't... It means... What was it?
He doesn't want to.
He doesn't want to give. No.
And he promises, but he doesn't.
Oh, yeah. He doesn't want to give at all. And there's no question of giving. And kripana, or miserly, means he promises to give and doesn't. So we want to try to get beyond that. So they should work into it that some charity is there. So then in doing that, since they can't go into more debt than they are, that means, in other words, that's the amount of debt that they can handle and not go crazy, then they have to reduce a little bit of theirs and start giving some, even if it's a little bit. You know, if it's $5, $10 here, it's just something. Start the mentality. So from there. And then, because the idea is austerity, austerity, charity, and sacrifice must be done. Right? So the sacrifice, we're engaged in the Krishna consciousness movement and all that. Austerity, we're performing our duties. And then charity, we in some way give to something that we find is of value, and at least for us, within Krishna consciousness. Like that. You know, it's like if you're a big businessman, you're working in circles where you have to go to all these fancy dinners and give in charity for, you know, something else. Like that. That's part of business. But in your own personal charity, that you would want to see that it's going into something Krishna conscious. Is that something? Okay, so Prabhupada mentioned that this is a Shastra conjunction, so it's something we should be trying to apply in our life. Right? It should be a consideration, even if it's small. But the point is always remember one's own personal and the charity, those should be more matching. Then it may be family members, other different things like that. Those things may be greater just because of history. But with time, you know, one tries to balance it, but at a speed that everybody is adjusted with. So it's not about pushing them on it, it's about making it realistic. Does that make sense? Yes.
Does this solely apply to finances, or can we say that, you know, time is money and I can offer time or service or that sort of thing? Does that factor into this?
Yes, you could. So then if you want to say is more time is it means time is being spent for altruistic work, so then the highest altruistic work would be to give Krishna consciousness. You know, so time should be given into that. So it's part of our ashram duties. Is that you could say like that. So if you don't have any, you know, that's the point, is if you don't have any money or it's very minimal, so you give something like that, then you'll also put in time. You know? Sorry?
Can these things be interchanged or swapped for each other? In other words, can austerity be swapped for charity? In other words, you might not have a lot of money to give in charity, but you don't mind doing like the pop. So do these things get swapped for each other, or do you have to do all?
No, it's a matter of what for your situation you can do. You do all of them. It's just like, you know, can we swap, you know, drinking liquid at the meal for eating solids at the meal? You know, you have to do both, you know, according to what you're eating is how much you drink and stuff like that. You know, so it's just, they go together. It's a matter of, these are principles and we try to see how to apply them in our life. They're not there for, it's not like tax loopholes or something, you know. It's that we're just trying to see how this will apply into our life, how we make it work. Right? So in other words, we have to be doing our duties, and from the duties will come results. So from some of that will be given in charity, and we have to see that we're applying it also into sacrifice. We're seeing. So for us, that means we're becoming Krishna conscious. We're applying it into Krishna conscious aspects. You know, so that may mean, you know, putting money into driving the car to go to, you know, the temple and the festivals and things like that. So you're putting something into like that. Yeah. So we're just seeing what we can do at this point in time. So standards are set. We know that this is what's standard, and we take whatever our position and try to adjust so that we're progressing towards that point. You know, whether we make it to that point, that's another thing. You know, if we have the means, yes, we'd want to be at that point. But if we don't, then we do the best we can. You know, that's always. But we have to be honest, because Krishna, he's in the heart, so he sees what thought process you're going through, so he knows if you're, you know, being straightforward or not, you know, so. Shukracharya continued, one might argue that since you have already promised, how can you refuse, right? Because that's going to be the first, you know, he's got it well thought out. Oh, best of the demons, just take from me the evidence of the Bhavricha Shruti, which says that a promise is truthfully preceded by the word Om, and untruthful if not. Yes. Yes. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains, if I have something to give and I say I have nothing, how can I avoid the sin of lying?
Depends on the perspective, right?
Yes, this is explained in 6 verses and a half in regards to truth and untruth. What is preceded by Om is true. What is not preceded by Om is untrue. Shruti says, Om iti satyam netyan ritam. Om indicates truth, and lack of it indicates untruth.
Regarding the promises, if they're not kept, what type of reaction? It will be on the level of promise, like words?
Yeah, then you might find others promise and they don't do anything. But at the same time, as when you're dealing with Brahmins and Vaishnavas, it tends to have a greater, and depending on who they are, it gets even greater. That's why one's very thoughtful and doesn't promise things that you don't feel you actually can accomplish. So in other words, you promise what you actually sincerely feel you can and will do. Then if something comes up, then it's a matter of discussion and working it out. We don't just say something because it sounds good, it's socially, you know, good, it gets us out of an immediate problem, you know, but then creates another problem. We don't use it in that way. Like someone, you know, you're sitting around talking with friends and, you know, like that, and they say, you know, hey, I was thinking about going to, you know, Bali, and they say, yeah, no, that's a great idea. Why don't we all go to Bali? Okay, yeah, yeah, hey, one could do that, and then you all sit there and discuss, work out plans and all that. You didn't really have an idea you wanted to go to Bali anyway. That was not on the table. But since it was in the discussion, you just went along with it and all this, and you don't do that. You know what I'm saying? A lot of, I mean, I don't know, but I mean, so from what I've seen, a lot of people, they just say things just because socially it fits in, you know? You know, oh, that would be nice. Yeah, let's do that, but they don't mean it. The other person thinks, oh, great, let's do that. And so that kind of stuff one should avoid. And then what one actually thinks one can do, say that. You know? Does that make sense? Like that. So then, that way then, at least your problems are minimal. But the point is yes, it's been said, but the point is it's been said on a certain level, so also that level will include. So if it's monetary, then monetary is affected. You know, words are there, so others will say words that don't mean anything, but also say if it's on a monetary level, that'll be affected. If it's time will be affected. Like that. Depending on who it is, what's the situation. If you just said it and weren't intending to do it, then naturally then one will get a stronger. If one intended to do it, things have changed, you can't do it, then of course, you know.
You change your mind?
Change your mind, but why did you change your mind? Is it's not good for you, then that's not proper. If it's something that it's actually going to, you know, it can't work or it'll turn out bad or there's other things, then that's there. But then the point is you have to make the effort to try to adjust everything. That's why one's very thoughtful about what one says. You know, this modern thing where you just jump in and get into the moment and all that, it actually creates a very actually poor and miserly society. Because in the modern thing, who are the people that give the big charity? Right? The really rich people and the really poor people. The liberals in the middle, they're not the ones that give the maximum money. You know, they give some money, definitely, but not the big volume. You know what I'm saying? So that kind of lifestyle we have to be very careful about. Does that make sense? So it's just, we're thoughtful, then, you know, we're careful about what we say, and if we're sure that it's that, then we say. And so then with time we'll become, you know, if that's our practice, then it'll be much easier to do things. At the same time as if others say things and don't do it, you don't worry about it. Because they are going to do that. You know what I'm saying? And that way then you develop your humility and tolerance, and then it works out. Yes?
Talk to some people who are working on the TOVP. Some people are in the know. And for every $1 million pledge, they're getting about $300,000 actually sent in.
Yeah, no, that happens. Yeah, because people change. It's right now it looks good, but then something changed. Because that's also a difference here, is you're dealing here on the Kshatriya level, Brahminical level. So he's pointing out by knowledge that it's inappropriate, according to the Shastric things, on the material platform, which he's correct. But he doesn't understand that Krishna will protect the devotee, so therefore he will be able to accomplish his promise. Then on the other thing is that's working on that where Shastra becomes the basis, that you have to follow Shastra. Then when you drop down into the economic and arts platform, then it becomes more about oneself. So then it comes down to, I made the promise, it was fine at that time, it was good for me, it was good for everybody, but now it's not good for me, so I won't keep it. While you see the Brahmins and Kshatriyas, they've said even if it's bad for them, they'll generally keep their promise. Like that. Though there are Shastric points that you have to consider, you know, is it, you know, what is the nature of it? So Kshatriyas tend to be more stuck on if they said it, they'll do it. Like that, because the need for what they say, people respect that will happen, because then when there's difficult times, they say they'll correct it, people have the faith. Otherwise, then you have anarchy and stuff. So it's an important element. But because many who will be giving in charity will be good at money and working in the economic field and thinking in the economic field, then yes, things adjust. They get sentimental, this and that, and they go home, they tell their wife, yeah, you know, we're giving $1 million, we're like, what, you know, what about, you know, you said we were doing this, we were doing that, and so then they get $300,000. Yeah, because, you know, one, he didn't check the bigger picture of the family and all that, and what he's promised, and that, but, you know, so like that. So but the thing is then, instead of giving it out of what they'd allotted, he should do it over a longer period of time. So instead of giving in 1 year, it may take them, you know, 3 years. But, you know, that won't happen because it's not actually about the word. It's a, it's an economic. So it's you also get the mentality. So it's a difficulty. Yes.
Well, earlier you said you should give charity to something that you value.
Yes.
So in this world, we have many centers, many projects.
Right, right.
Every single festival.
Right.
We get the money. So we value that as movement. We give
right.
the temple.
Right.
Is it okay? I mean, obviously, there's been history and health and all sorts of things. Devotees trying to cut the path.
It means the point is you give to what you feel is best. If you think that in according to your information this is a good charity, and in connection with Krishna consciousness, you give there. But if you find that you don't think it is actually the best investment for money in Krishna consciousness, find some project that you do like and give it there. You know, just because, let's say, you've always given to one project and you find that they're not using the money properly, it's not necessary you have to continue giving it to them.
But does it matter? Because you're still giving it to Prabhupada
Krishna. Yes, but it is Krishna's movement. You are going to practically apply. So why not give it to some place that you know that it will be working better? The point is if you don't know, it's just you're giving to the temple and it's great and all that, then you do. But if you find that, okay, that there's a few options and I find of these, this one I think is doing the best, why you wouldn't give there? Because you're responsible for the money.
What do you mean by best? Do you mean where the greatest need is?
Where the money will be used properly. Because it means I'm going by what you said. Somebody's driving around a fancy car. Someone else, they're not driving around a fancy car. They're using the money for more what they say they're going to use it for. So then you give it there, if that's a consideration. If it's a matter of everybody's using it nicely, but these guys really need it more than these guys, you know, it's like here there's a donor base of 10,000 people, while over here there's a donor base of, you know, minus 5. So, you know, give over there, and so then that's nice.
And what if you've already made a decision going on to this concept of changing mind and working on the economic platform? If you... sort of given in places where...
But you've given, but you don't have to give in the future to them.
No, you're giving in terms of what's called a standing order. It's just...
Then you leave that.
So you can't, because you said, I'll just give every year.
Yes, but then that's done. You gave that at a time when it's supposed to be, like this. But then also, if you find that it's not, you can always question them. You can always ask them that, you know. In other words, do they have accounts? Are they giving out to the donors their accounts? And so if you feel, and what's this, you know, or what's that, or, you know, and if you're dissatisfied at that point, then you can adjust it. But at least you ask about it. No, because it may be that car is for some other purpose. You know, you think, oh, they got this fancy car, but maybe somebody donated it. So you don't know. You know what I'm saying? The guy, when he joined Krishna Consciousness, he already had 5 Bentleys, so then he thought, well, of all of them, you know, the pink's the most important, you know, so I'll give the temple one of them. You know, so, you know, you never know. Right? Got to keep the pink one.
Of course,
right?
Yeah. It's unique.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so in other words, it has to be done properly and everything like that. So there would be the ritualistic aspect is theirs that has formally been requested and formally been given. You know, so if the situation is different, then you might consider. Right? But if it's a good thing and it may not have been an ideal situation, but it's still good, then you can go ahead with it. But if it wasn't ideal, then because of that, then you don't have to. So these are all these considerations, yes.
Brahmins usually don't pay tax, but they should give a charity.
Yes, yes.
Now, in our society, everybody gets, you know, Brahmin Diksha can say, look, you know.
But how are they maintaining themselves? That's the whole point. It means every devotee is Brahmin by ashram. You know, more developed, less developed, but they're all Brahmin by ashram. But in Varna, that will be according to their nature. So according to the nature, then that's how they occupationally maintain themselves. So Brahmins occupationally maintain. So they can say, yes, I'm a Brahmin, I get charity. So are they just living on charity? Or do they have a job also? So that's not recommended. Like that, because that means then they're living beyond their means. So if they're only living on charity, then that's one thing, but then they still have to give charity. Because otherwise, yeah, that's the point. But now if they have a job, that means then they're going to pay taxes and they're going to give in charity. If they have a business, they're going to pay taxes and give in charity. Right? If they're on the administration and all that, then they're going to, you know, be doing whatever they do and they're going to be giving in charity. And then the Brahmins are going to be receiving, they're going to be giving in charity also. So it may be small, but still they're doing it. Like that. Okay.
Did you get the formula right, that you have all your expenses done, so then whatever profit is there, you just divide that between your family, and then 50% is charity?
Well, the family means it's actually, he's saying you take care of, you know, different things like that, and 50% of that means 25% of that total, what you call profit, is for emergency. So that's also for family. It's also for yourself like that. And then for the other, what's left, that's what you give to family. And then out of that, you'll get something. Right? So that's the idea. That's above. But the point is you have, what would limit that is that, because you can unlimitedly have expenses. But the point is the farther up you take it means the less you have to spend for yourself. You know what I'm saying? So if you say, no, but all my expenses go is into maintenance and all that, then that means you have nothing to go out and buy something with. You know, you want those new golf clubs, you want those new shoes. You don't have money for that because you've already spent it. That's not part of maintenance.
So that's, the profit is 25%?
No, the profit is whatever is left over after paying everything. Then that's going to, that doesn't mean your vacation paying that comes out of your profit. Mm-hmm. Means out of your, what is your day-to-day maintenance, mm-hmm, that you're paying what's left over, that's what you start dividing up into all these things. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Dividing up as Rupa Goswami said. Mm-hmm. Right? What's his name?
Shukracharya.
What Shukracharya is saying is including the whole thing. Right, means investing in business, you know, money, increasing that, performing all the different, taking care of the family members, all that. That's already included in his one. Oh. Rupa Goswami's, what he's dealing with is what's above that. Because that's where it gets confusing. Mm-hmm. Yes?
Rupa Goswami says accumulated wealth, though. My understanding was that when he retired, that's what he did with his money. That wasn't like,
no, he was saying, he was setting an example, but accumulated means you've accumulated, means it's something more. But let's say at the end of the week, after you paid all the bills, you've accumulated now $120. And so that $120, now that's what you do. So 60 goes in charity, 30 you put away, and 30 then you go out and do what you want.
Next week will be no accumulated money then.
Hmm?
Next week there will be no accumulated money then. I mean, if you give away and spend.
Yeah, no, but next week's work, you'll get more accumulated money. It means you don't have any more for this week. So you got 30 bucks to for this week. So that's, what's it, four and a quarter dollars a day.
Yeah. That's the allowance anyway now.
Yeah, so that's your allowance.
Perfect example.
Yeah.
Marsh, the example you gave earlier about sometimes we have to give charity on our credit. So should it be, in other words, if we buy something for ourselves on credit, which we're quite willing to do because we really want something,
yes,
we should give that same amount in charity on credit?
Yeah. I mean, we have to understand is what's for us that's beyond what is the day-to-day need. Right? Every day, you know, you're eating, okay, 100 grams of rice, this much vegetable, this much this, that much that, you know, electricity is this much, you know, water is that much, your rent is this much. Putting all that aside, what's above that expenditure, that's what it should be, half-half.
Right. So where does the bucket of halwa fit in?
It depends upon, if you're a brahmachari, it's maintenance. If you're a householder, then that's profit. Okay. Yeah. Just depends on you. That's why you in the Varnashram system where you situate yourself. See, in other words, for the brahmachari, that's maintenance, right? And for the grihastha, that's profit. But then for the grihastha, shoes are maintenance, and the bhakavihala is profit. You see, and there's a difference. Okay. That's why the brahmachari has the bucket of halava, but no shoelace. Yeah, that's the point. He's found some string in tight. So that's the point. It's according to you know that's the story. Yes.
In this equation, you're saying often that the person who's making the money, the working hard, he should spend less and less on himself and more on others. And often Prabhupada would deride, he would say, he would criticize or deride or make fun of the man who's getting up, he's only eating a piece of toast and then he's in some tea, and then he goes to his workplace, he works all day long, he works really, really hard, he comes home late at night and he only eats another piece of toast and goes to bed, and he's spending everything else, all the money he's making, he's spending on his family members and property.
But we're discussing charity, not family.
Yeah, he would deride that.
No, he was deriding someone who's the mudha, who's only absorbed in taking care of family, is not seeing to the spiritual aspect. So here, the charity aspect that we're talking about here is amongst devotees, is what's used for spirit, you know, developing, you know, spiritual projects like that. So we're talking, it's two different topics like that. You know, it's a different topic. But here, because he's not giving in charity, he's just taking care of his family. In that example that Prabhupada's giving.
Either way, he's not using the money for himself.
But we have to understand the difference that we're saying there. You know, just let's say, like, we use the word absorption. So someone's self-absorbed and someone's absorbed in Krishna. We have to be able to tell the difference. We can't just say, no, but it's all absorption. So because the person's self-absorbed, he probably derides that, so that means also the person who's absorbed in Krishna is wrong. You understand?
Yeah.
You can't use that common word like that. You have to, they're two different realms. Okay. Is that okay? Okay. Sukacharya continued, the Vedas enjoin that the factual result of the tree of the body is the good fruits and flowers derived from it. But if the bodily tree does not exist, there is no possibility of factual fruits and flowers. Even if the body is based on untruth, there cannot be factual fruits and flowers with the help of the bodily tree. So even if you're not following what the Vedas say. So in other words, if it doesn't start with Om, means what's authorized by the Veda, it's not. You don't have to do it. If it's a charity ask that Shastra doesn't enjoin, you're not obliged. Mm-hmm. Right? So he's saying, but even if you're following that, you can't do it without your body. And if you've given everything away, that you can't maintain your body, so you can't even get that. You know, so he's trying to point that out. Because the point here is that the body is used for good results, but the point is the best of good results is Krishna consciousness. So he is engaging it in the best results. He is getting, so Sukacharya, not knowing about devotional results, he doesn't see any form that he can get benefit from karmakanda. You know, from any aspect of Shastra and everything like that. So he finds us breaking all the rules of, on one sense of, means there are ones that support. Like he said before, one may say, I promised. So that is also a rule. But there's other ones that counter that. Because then the path of karma won't go well. Right? So that's his point here. But he doesn't understand when you go into the spiritual, then the Lord protects. And you are getting that full benefit. So that's what he's not seeing, because that's the point. He's a smart Brahmin, so he has a limit to what he can see. By his intelligence, he's very, you know, him, Brihaspati, Bhrigu, Lord Brahma, Narad Muni, the four Kumaras, like this, these are the most intelligent on the intellectual platform in the universe. So he can see up to a certain point, but he can't see what's beyond that. He can't see transcendence.
Okay. He's specifically singled out as the greatest thinker.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, the greatest thinker. So like that. So contemplating it. So what he's coming up with, these points, most people won't string together. But he knows the Shastra so well. You know. That's you know. So he's bringing this up, but that's the whole point that's also made in the Shastra, is that you can't know the Supreme by intelligence. He's beyond that. So that's, now we're seeing the limit of Sukracharya's intelligence, his thoughtfulness. But at the same time, is his points that he makes about this point on charity, who else is going to be able to bring these up? So he's the best in the universe for dealing with this up to the point of the material. Beyond that, he's actually unqualified, because it goes into transcendental. So on the platform of the intelligence, he's the most qualified. But on the platform of the soul, his disciple is actually more qualified.
So yes. Then,
would that, when we say that we have to approach Shastra through the eyes of the spiritual master,
yes.
Is that what he's failing? He doesn't have a spiritual master?
He has a spiritual master, but only in karma. It's like I think it was Pachina Barhishat. He mentioned that this knowledge that Narad Muni was instructing him in on transcendence, he had never heard it before. And he was one of these pious kings that had his Brahmins, always respected the Brahmins, always took their advice, you know, always would follow the Brahmins, but all his Brahmins were Karmakandis. So they had only explained to him this path, and he was following it well. And so when Narad Muni came, then he understood there's something beyond, then he took that up. So the point is the Brahmin can only give what he has, right? You can only give in charity what you have. That's the whole idea. So even with money, you can't give something you don't have, right? So I can't give knowledge that belongs to someone else and say it's mine, right? Just like, you know, if I write a book, I plagiarize the whole thing and then say it's mine, that's cheating. So in the same way, if money's been supposed to be going for taking care of the family or this or that, and I decide to give that in charity, it's not mine to give. So the rule is the same. It's just being applied in different areas. So when I talk in knowledge, then there won't be any more questions. As soon as it moves into economics, then we'll talk a lot about it, right? Because it's just a fine ink because we think about it. But the point is, the principle is the same. You can't give something you don't have, right? And you can't give something you're not authorized to have. So is that something?
Yeah, I was referring also to the point that when sometimes we approach Shastra, we might get a perspective of Shastra like he is presenting, but if we don't approach through the eyes of our spiritual master, we won't get
yes.
a sense.
Yes, that's why without the purports, we won't actually understand Shastra. That's why the Smriti is the fifth Veda. I mean, Smartas don't accept it because this is all the farther they want to see. So without this, without the Smriti, in their own mind, they're doing fine. But if you want to go back to Godhead without the Smriti, you won't understand. Because mm-hmm. Smriti is... See, the Shruti is what is the Veda itself. The inherent stories of that great personality. So everything's there, all the example and everything. But the point is now great liberated souls contemplate the words of Shruti. And then in their realization, in their discussions with other great personalities or in instructing others in this science, that documentation of those conversations, that's Smriti. In a sense, so that is actually accessible to us. Because just taking Veda and being able to understand everything from it, then that's going to be difficult. Like we see, the Upanishad says, you know, something very, he walks, he does not walk, all this kind of stuff. Vedanta Sutra just says, you know, very point, you know, the Lord is beyond, the Lord has no material qualities, he is beyond. You know, a little bit more accessible, right? Mm-hmm. But then Bhagavatam takes it even farther. And it'll talk about how the Lord and the devotee, he's very kind to the devotees, but he reciprocates and things like that, but he has no material qualities. He's created everything, but he's beyond. Mm-hmm. It'll give more. So that's why as it goes down, that's why it says, as it comes down, the parampara gets sweeter. So it's all based on the origin. That's why it always has to be in the line. But as it comes down the line, there's more and more explanation. So the glories of the Lord have been expanded. but it has to be keeping in line with the point that is made by, you know, the original Shastra, the original Acharyas, all that. Does that make sense? So that's why if it doesn't have an Om in front of it, there's a problem. Right? So if we just make it up, then it's a problem. It has to be based on Shastra. Yes?
Maharaj, which smritis do the smartest follow? More in the sense of kalpa activities.
Because kalpa is all within Veda. It's all part of Brahmanas. So the Griya Sutras, Dharma Sutras, they're following from there. So they don't even have to go to Manu and other things. If they're that strict that it's only Shruti. So they have everything to maintain themselves within it. But the problem is there's a good chance they won't actually understand what they're doing. So unless they're following Vaikanas or something, which are Vaishnavs, but only using the Vedic version, they may understand. But other than them, I don't think the smart is, you know, how you say, snowball's chance in regions that are a little warmer than we would desire.
The term smarter means related to smriti?
Yes. It means that they follow all the different things very nicely. They follow the rules very nicely. But you have those who will only follow shruti. But there's very minimal of those. Most all accept smriti of what they are comfortable with. You know, it's just like the Mayavada, they accept Gita, you know, Mahabharata. So there's a circle that they accept. They may not accept Bhagavatam, or they may not accept other aspects, but so there's very few that would be solely based on Shrutis, and there's a good chance we won't bump into them. You know, at least not down at the, you know, corner shop, you know. Yeah. You got something? Okay. Yes.
So can we say the progression from the 7th to 8th canto, like Prahlad Maharaj's situation was like, he didn't have any pre-devotional services bought out, but as such he was a child, no obligations. Now it comes to more situation that, you know, there are more complexities added to it.
Yes, you could say. But of that, in saying that, we always have to remember that of the 12 Mahajans, Prahlad Maharaj is the example that we can follow. You know, his life is there because he has the difficulties, he surrenders to the Lord. So we see Bali Maharaj in the difficulty, he surrenders to the Lord. So actually he's following his grandfather there, like that. But it's just making it more and more clear. All we're saying, it's not that it's any of these things are a lower level. Because the point is their devotion, that what we're bringing out is the aspects that we can appreciate and relate to and progress through. It's not that the individuals that we're discussing are something less. You know, it's that, like I think it's Jayan Vijay when they're first discussed, that's the fourth canto or
third
canto. So that they're wanting to please the Lord, you know, that's what they're doing is their service. Right? Does that make sense? So we have to be able to work with these, how you say, seemingly contradictory points, right? This is what is in the discussion. Who is this? Narad Muni and Sanat Kumar about Anuchana?
Sanat Kumar is speaking.
What is Anuchana? Narad Muni asked this question. So Anuchana means you can see the different topics that are there in the Vedas. You know, the para and apara, within the apara, all the different variety. And within each section of that, then it has also further breakdowns. That we can see them all in connection with that one supreme absolute truth, in connection with the Lord and devotional service. That's Anuchana. Because otherwise, the different shastras say different things. So we're taking one thing from here, one thing from here, one thing, but we're putting it together as one package. Right? But it's in the mood of what's given to us. So you catch that, because you don't explain the same thing over and over again. It's great. Just like this. Let's say, for example, okay, we go into the kitchen, first time, okay. Okay, you got here's your counter, here's your different things like that, you know, you set up here, you know, like that, you wash pots over here who are going to cook. Okay, so now in cooking this preparation, we need this pan. Okay, we're going to fry things. We need a flat pan like that. We're deep frying this. We use the karai like that. We're boiling this. We use the regular pot. You know, these things like that. This is how, okay, this is how you turn on this fire. This is how you're going to do and fry. This is a chance. This is, you know, you go through all those details like that. Okay? Now when I come back the second day, am I going to explain all that again? No, I'm going to say, okay, now we're going to take this, make a chance, fry it like this, like that, steam it like that, and then we're going to do this, and we're going to add that. We just get down to the recipe. So that's what's happening. Something's been explained somewhere in the Veda because the conversation came up, all the detail all the way to the ground. Then, in another place, it's just going to carrying on from that, give further detail. So that's a nutrient. You can put that all together. But if we say, oh, no, it doesn't explain that here, then it's a problem. And if it does explain it here, then the modern academy will say, well, that's interpolation. Why does every scripture have creation in it? You know, it's not about creation. It's about Ayurveda. It's about, you know, Dhanurveda. It's about why do they all start with creation? This must be interpolation. You know what I'm saying? So you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. If you don't take it all the way every time, oh, it's not going there, it's not saying that, it doesn't mean that, it doesn't say that. And if you do, why is it saying this? This is, why is this? So what does it mean? It means people are going to interpret how they like, and they couldn't care less about Shastra. Hence, he says, if it doesn't start with Om, then it's not valuable.
Science comes from schizo.
Science comes from
the word,
schizo.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So that so means...
comes from chinna, from Sanskrit. Then it goes via Greek, schizo. Then it becomes...
science.
Latin, and then science.
Okay. And in Latin, what is it?
Scientia. That already there, the
scientia,
switch is,
meaning,
yeah,
oh,
it's already
like
been
scientia.
Switched there as something positive, and okay. Then it's taken further into English.
Oh, so it means getting too caught up in the mechanics of things that
yeah,
are considered a schizo.
Chinna, the Sanskrit just means cut off, amputated. It's cut off from Krishna.
Okay.
But in the modern, it becomes objective.
Okay.
So it becomes truth.
Oh, really? Mm. Interesting. Yeah. Fun.
Yeah.
Okay. So then there would be, if someone gets to a mechanic, the schizoidal view.
Yeah, that's what it means. Split
okay.
Personality.
Wow. Interesting. Fun.
Exactly.
Okay. Okay, how we got? Okay. Okay, Srila Prabhupada comments. This shloka explains that in relation to the material body, even the factual truth cannot exist without a touch of untruth. You got, because you're engaging in the body. Without the body, how do you engage in activities that are recommended by Scripture? Right? So that for the body, technically being an untruth, because it's not the soul, still is involved a bit. The Mayavadis say Brahma Satya Jagat Mitya. The spirit soul is truth and the external energy is untruth. The Vaishnava philosophers, however, do not agree with the Mayavad philosophy. Even if, for the sake of argument, the material world is accepted as untruth, the living entity entangled in the illusory energy cannot come out of it without the help of the body. Right? So that's the whole point, is they're making these points. What are they making these points with? Their body. They're saying with their mouth, they're hearing with their ears, they're contemplating with their brain, all these different things. So they're using the body. Without the help of the body, one cannot follow a system of religion, nor can one speculate on philosophical perfection, right? So you can't be a karmi or a jnani without it, right? Therefore, the flower and fruit, pushpa phalam, have to be attained as a result of the body. Without the help of the body, that fruit cannot be gained. So he's talking about you can't gain anything from the Veda without the body. That's his point that he's trying to make there. The Vaishnava philosophy therefore recommends yukta vairagya. Right? So it's not, he's only taking it to following the Shastra, but you have to take it through to, I connect that to Krishna. Right? It is not that all attention should be diverted for the maintenance of the body, but at the same time, one's bodily maintenance should not be neglected. That's the balance. You don't divert it to there, but you don't neglect it. So when we were discussing previously, it was always about someone's neglecting overly or someone's overly emphasizing like that. So that's where we get the balance. We try to get this point where we are able to see it in proportion. So that takes some maturity, contemplation, you know, inquiring like this. Then we can start to find where is that point where we've actually connected it properly. So for us, it's easier because it's connected to Krishna. Then worrying about these secondary aspects become easier to deal with than someone like Sukracharya, where you only have secondary. So he's trying to bring it to primary of the secondary, and then secondary of the secondary. While we take it to primary of the primary, and then bring it down to secondary, you know, aspects. Does that make sense? Okay, so we'll continue.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prabhupada ki.